even in the parks where people gather around, they have a little community there, and they know who we are. Anytime anyone new comes in and tries to diss myself or Pastor Dave, they're like, don't do that, don't do that. That's our pastor. Not a lot of them are coming to church, but they know that we love them, and that's so important. And I just want to say that God is doing a work in us. God's doing a work in the church. We have about 15, 20 people there now, and they come together. We have a great family. We've thank you for releasing Ken and his beautiful wife, Katie. They have been such a blessing to us in West London. And we're just grateful to be in God's hands, to be tools, to be used by him to share the word of God. So I just want to ask you to continue to pray for us. We're praying for our men's home. Oh, let me say, Philip the Crew says, is this working? We're praying for our men's home. Amen. We're believing God for a home. And today I had the privilege to share a word with the men's home. And it was such an honor to share. And it just preparing my heart for when we have our men's home, because you lot are treasures. You're blinging, amen, for Jesus. So I just want to say continue to stand behind your pastors. They're our friends. We love them. You are doing a great work. People are going to know that Europe is anointed for Jesus. We've got everybody coming over here to see the work that we've been doing here. So continue, all of you that are discipling and discipled, please continue to be available to God, because God's going to move in this sanctuary. He's going to move in this sanctuary. Amen. Continue to invite your friends and your family. Women of God, are you here? Women of God, are you here? Be encouraged, be available, and be prepared. Amen. I'm done now. God bless. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I just want to thank the Lord for my salvation. It's really an honor. It's always an honor and a privilege to be able to come back to Manchester. I know a good few of you here, and there's many that I don't know. So it's really good to see a lot of new faces. I just want to thank Pastor Paul and Sister Vicky for having me and my wife come down. They're great friends of ours in the ministry, and I'm always humbled when I'm asked to come back to Manchester, because for me this is where God really done a real impact in my life. I came down here in 2000, spent some time in the men's home, and if I didn't come to Manchester, if I didn't spend that time in Manchester, I don't think you'd be seeing me behind this pulpit tonight. And so it's always, whenever I come to Manchester, I'm really, really blessed. And I'm always grateful to God when I'm down here. For some reason, I'm just so nervous tonight. But as my wife was saying, we send greetings from our church, Victory Outreach West London. It's good to see some Londoners in the house. I think the brother earlier mentioned South London. I'm like, I'm like, Lord, did you make a mistake? Because I'm from the East End of London, and so East and South, that kind of thing. But praise God, I believe it's all one in Jesus. Praise the Lord. But God's really doing great things in West London. We've just celebrated 2 years a couple of Sundays ago. Amen. Praise the Lord. And church is growing. The people are growing. The people of God are growing. God's moving powerfully in a short space of time. He's giving us the keys, literally giving us the keys to Wormwood Scrubs Prison. I'm now a community chaplain in the prison. I've got keys. Praise the Lord. It's a miracle. It's very humbling to know that when you've spent time in prison and to see what God does in your life and to see where he's taken me It's very, very humbling. I would never have thought when I was first went into prison as a 17-year-old, that God would have had me doing what I'm doing today. So I'm very, very grateful. And once again, very, very privileged tonight to be able to share the word of God from behind this pulpit. I'd like if you would stand with me tonight. And once again, just want to really acknowledge my wife, Sister Janet. Wonderful, wonderful woman of God that God has blessed me with. And I know that I couldn't do what I'm doing if it wasn't for God bringing her into my life. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 9 tonight. We're going to read from verse number 21. Revelation chapter 9, verse 21. I've got a bit of a tickly cough, so pray for me. Amen. Revelation chapter 9, verse 21. The Bible reads, "And they did not repent of their murders or their sorceries or their sexual immoralities or their thefts." Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray tonight, oh Lord, that you would open up every heart tonight, Father God, to receive your word, Father. Father, I pray tonight, Holy Spirit, give us ears to hear, Lord, what the Spirit of God is saying to your churches tonight. In Jesus' name, and everybody says, amen. Amen. God bless you. You could take your seats tonight. Tonight's message is called Victory Outreach and End Time Ministry. And tonight, I truly believe that God is going to raise up workers, more leaders, more teachers, more directors, men's home directors, women's home directors, more missionaries. Praise God, you sent a couple of missionaries down. Brother Ken is here tonight, and his wife Katie from Victory Outreach Manchester. I believe God's going to raise up more missionaries. I believe God's going to raise up pastors, youth pastors. Come on, somebody. Pastors' wives. I believe God's going to raise up evangelists. I believe God's going to raise up professional people. Come on, somebody. I believe God's going to raise up business people. Business people that's going to finance the work of this end time work that God has for us. And I believe that tonight God has already separated men and women. But tonight, I believe that God, many of you are going to feel the sense of the separation like never before for the call and the work of the Lord tonight. Tonight, some of you that what you've been wrestling with, you've been struggling with, you're gonna feel it tonight. The Holy Spirit is here tonight, and you're gonna sense it tonight like never before. Right. How many of you here tonight have been affected by drugs? You've got a family member, your family's been affected by drugs, or I want you to stand if that's you. You've been affected, maybe you've been on drugs, or you've been affected by drugs, or you've got a family member who's been affected by drugs. Just turn around and have a quick look. That's about half, more than half of the church. Take your seats. An article came out this Monday in the Metro paper in London, and it says this, the title of it was this: Britain is the worst in Europe for drug addiction. Britain is the worst in Europe. And we were debating before we came out whether Britain was a part of Europe. But they're saying Britain is the worst in Europe for drug addiction. I got this about 8 o'clock Monday morning. And if you're in Victory Outreach, yeah, and you're really down, as we say, in Victory Outreach, trust me, you can't really have breakfast when you see something like this. says that Britain has been branded the addiction capital of Europe as more people get hooked on Class A drugs. More young people have also used legal highs such as Salva or Green Rolex than anywhere else in Europe. The Centre for Social Justice, the think tank, claimed Britain has become a hub for websites selling psychoactive substances which are ordered online and distributed around the country, turning postal workers into unwitting drug mules. The CSJ No Quick Fix report found Britain has Europe's highest rate of addictions to opiates such as heroin and the highest lifetime use of amphetamines, cocaine and ecstasy. Alcohol dependence among women in Britain is also higher than anywhere else in Europe. Noreen Oliver, chairman of the CSJ reviewed, criticised the government's handling of drug and drink addiction treatment. Alcohol is taking an increasing toll across all services in the UK, and new emerging drugs are causing more harm. All the while, funding to rehabilitation centres is being dramatically cut, she said. Crime Prevention Minister Jeremy Brand told the BBC the government took the threat of legal highs seriously. Now, there are 50 countries in Europe, and Britain is the worst for drug addiction. Now, let's get to Manchester. Manchester has the highest rate of drug-related deaths in the whole of the UK, a study has revealed. In shocking statistics from the International Centre for Drugs Policy Research, Manchester is now top of the table of drug deaths, moving ahead of Brighton, which has held the gruesome accolade consistently for a number of years. Now that shocked me, because I'm from London, and London, we've got more people in London than most places around the world. Little Brighton has just been overtaken by Manchester. Following a recent spate of drug-related deaths in the Manchester area, the study comes as unwelcome news. The North West fares especially badly, with Manchester recording the UK's worst total of 15 drug deaths per 100,000 people aged 16 and over in 2011. Blackburn, Hindburn and Ribble Valley aren't far behind with 14 deaths, and Liverpool and Blackpool also feature very highly. How many of you know we need Victory Outreaches in those places? In the UK, heroin and morphine remain the biggest killer, despite related deaths falling from 41%, and they've got a load of stats. Overall, UK-related drug deaths fell by 7% from 1983 to 2010 to 1,883 in 2010 to 1,757 in 2011, as documented in the National Programme on Substance Abuse Deaths 2012 report. Now tonight I want to preach on the importance of Victory Outreach as an end time ministry and the E of evangelism. Now I'm not talking about the E's that, you know, the E, you'll get it later. In March the 16th, 2010, God began to really birth this message in my heart. And I believe that this message is a message for our Victory Outreach churches. It's a real heavy burden that I've been carrying for over 3 years. This message is knowledge, understanding, and wisdom for us in Victory Outreach for these end times. I was at a pastor's training seminar
with my wife in 2010, we were preparing to start our church and we were getting trained up. During the interval of the seminar, my wife and I and another couple went into Amsterdam, downtown into Amsterdam. Now, the only time I'd ever been to Amsterdam was back in the day. I mean, if you know, back in the day, for us where we come from, that was like a national holiday, going to Amsterdam. We never used to go to Jamaica or the Bahamas, amen. We'd go to Amsterdam. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And as we were downtown in Amsterdam, my wife and I, we were holding hands, as married couples do. Hello, somebody. And how many Star Trekkies have you got? Anyone loves Star Trek? I'm not really into Star Trek, but I've seen the odd Star Trek, and that Starship Enterprise, sometimes it gets caught in that, you know, that bit of turbulence. And I remember walking in Amsterdam, and I got hit by this pungent smell that I remember quite well. Because in Holland, they've got what's known as coffee shops, and I smelt this smell, and it was like I was walking in this thing for about 2 minutes, and I got very angry in my spirit. So angry that when we got back, we got dressed, went to the evening service. I don't know what the preacher preached. All I know, it was Pastor Rick preached. And I got back to my hotel room. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't rest. I couldn't sleep. And God began to give me this message. And the Holy Spirit told me that night that this ministry is an end time ministry. And the Holy Spirit led me to the book of Revelations. Revelations reveals the things which will happen at the end times. Revelations is a study of end things, theologically known as eschatology, a branch of theology which deals with major issues and events of death, the afterlife, heaven and hell, the second coming of Jesus, the resurrection of the dead, the rapture, the tribulation, millennialism, the end of the world, the last judgment, the new heaven, the new earth, and the world to come. The Holy Spirit told me through this portion of Scripture that there will be drug addicts right up until the end days. Revelations chapter 9 verse 21 says, "And they did not repent." They did not repent of their sorceries. That word sorceries in the Greek translated is a word called pharmaceutica. It's where we get our English word pharmaceuticals or pharmacy. Pharmaceuticals, drugs. They did not repent of their drugs. There's going to be widespread drug taking in these end times. And Britain right now is at the top of the list. They did not repent of their drug dealing. They did not repent of their drug making. They did not repent of their drug abuse. In this end time drug culture, satanic influence will be more heavy than we've ever seen before. I believe there's a heavy intention coming from the demonic realm. And tonight I really want to exercise caution at this point and not read into modern history back into Scripture. But it may be possible to see widespread drug abuse during this period, particularly given the widespread unveiled manifestations of Satan and demons during the same period. See, I'm old school, but there are new school drug users. See, the old school drug users, you know, we'd have our connections. Or we'd go out on the street, on the corner, we'd know someone. But the new school of drug users can now go online. New drugs are being rapidly turned out. This was a funny one. Green Rolex. I thought a Rolex was a watch. I didn't think it was something that you could take. Many lives are going to be affected. Many families' lives are going to be affected. That's why I had a stand. Because many of our lives have been affected by drugs. Many of our families' lives. Many of our children's lives. And I love what the sister was saying. You know, we're going to take it for Jesus. We're going to go out. We're going to go to different cities. And that's what we need to do. Because many people's lives are being devastated through drugs. It's funny because God's been dealing with me with this portion of scripture. He took me back to the first family of faith, the family of Jacob, and how his family, how drug addiction was taking place in his family. This is the family of faith, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And if you look in Genesis chapter 30, you'll find that Jacob's wife, Rachel, was affected by drugs. The drug of that time was called a mandrake. It's a potato-like shape that they pulled from the earth. But it had properties, psychoactive properties. It had properties like opium. In fact, it was a drug that many women would take when they were trying to have a baby. But it was also used in ceremonies where they would mix it and do all kinds of sorcery and witchcraft. And it's very important to see that these things are happening in the Old Testament so we can bring light of what's happening in the New. And that God loves drug addicts, and that God loves the families, and that God would give us an example, even way back in the Old Testament, of a family that was affected by drugs. The Bible makes it clear that this will be happening at the end times. And this is why God has raised up Victory Outreach as an end time ministry. And they did not repent. Not all, but some. And they did not repent. Not all, but some. Revelation chapter 9, the background is just real quick. God brings some heavy judgment into the world. Few plagues wipes out many people. But the gospel is still being preached. God still gives people time to turn their hearts towards Him in repentance. And they did not repent. Not all, but some. And they did not repent. Repentance simply means to turn, to think differently, to have a change of mind or a heart towards God. To hate doing what they're doing, so much so that you would turn and give your heart allegiance to God, to Jesus Christ. And they did not repent. Not all, but some. You see, repentance is the heart of the gospel message. Jesus' first message was on repentance, Matthew chapter 4, verse 7. And Jesus' final message was also on repentance, Luke chapter 24, verse 47. Abraham preached repentance. Moses preached repentance. Samuel, Peter, Acts chapter 2, verse 38, his first message on the day of Pentecost was a message of repentance. Nehemiah, repentance. Jonah, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Zephaniah, Zechariah, all preached repentance. The Apostle Paul, Acts chapter 20, verse 21, testified to both Jews and Greeks, repentance towards God. John the Baptist preached repentance. Hallelujah. When I came into the home, that was the first thing they said to me. Are you willing to turn away from that old lifestyle? Are you willing to give up doing that what you've been doing? Do you hate doing what you've been doing? See, because sometimes many people come to the Lord and we tell them repent, but they don't hate what they're doing. There's no real sorrow over what they're doing. There's no real, I'm disgusted. And in this last day and in these last hours, people need to come to a place when they hear that message. It's a message of grace, God's love. God wants to accept. See, we don't accept Christ. He accepts us. See, many people, yeah, I accepted Jesus. No, you didn't. He accepted you and he accepted me when we repented and we turned. I know the devil's messing with me because I've got my notes all over the place. But it's all right. It's all right. It's all right. It's all right. I believe that there are four things what this means for Victory Outreach. Number one, the gospel is still going to be preached. Evangelism is still going to be taking place. Acts chapter 1 verse 8, Jesus has called us to be witnesses. Romans chapter 10 verse 14 through to 15 reads like this. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. The gospel is still going to be preached. And I believe that it is no coincidence that the Lord would show us drugs taking place, rife drug addictions, in the book of Revelations pertaining to these end times, and that how God has raised up this ministry in this time and in this day and in this hour. I believe that, you know, God had it all figured out. He had us in his mind. See, this ministry is from God. It's not a man-made ministry. When you read scriptures like this, it makes you understand that this ministry, God has called this ministry for such a time as this. Because there would be widespread drug addiction, many families being torn apart through drugs and through alcohol. And that God would see right at the very end of the book, that these things would be taking place on the earth. And that there would have to be evangelism taking place. There would have to be a people that is crazy enough to go into those highways and those byways, to go into those crack houses and those places of heroin and alcohol where prostitutes are. Come on, is there any treasures out of darkness here? Any twilight treasures here? It's important that we go out because we have a special, unique anointing upon this ministry. And listen, this anointing that's upon this ministry is powerful. It's heavy. It's so heavy that you don't have to have been a drug addict. You don't have to have been an alcoholic. Man, when that anointing is upon you and you understand this ministry and what God has put upon this ministry, man, you could be one sister or brother that you've never even hurt a fly. But when that anointing comes upon you, man, you step out into Salford. Man, you step out into some of those places in Manchester where some people people don't want to go, and that anointing's on you. Man, you step up to a drug addict or a prostitute or a gang member and you tell them about Jesus Christ, something happens, man. But I believe that some of you, you haven't experienced that yet. Some of you haven't tasted that yet. But I believe there's going to be an anointing that's going to come upon some of you that's been saying, man, I want that, man. I've been hearing about that. It's going to come on you, man. You're going to be bold as a lion. Some of you, you've been wanting that, man. You've been wanting to go to the streets. Some of you, you've been holding back because you're like, well, I've never been a drug addict. I wasn't an alcoholic. I've not been in the home. See, you got to understand what God's put on this ministry. And if you're in this ministry, it's on you. It's on you. It wants to come on you tonight. It wants to come on you tonight, man. God wants to use you. God wants to use you in those universities where they're taking those legal highs, where they're taking those green Rolexes, where they're taking those meow, meow. I think that's a new Chinese drug. Meow, 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 meow. Wants to come on you, man. Wants to come on you. He wants to come on some of you tonight. He wants you to experience the real high, the most high, the power of the Holy Ghost for this end time revival of drug addicts that's gonna come in. Listen, man. I don't class myself as anything, man. I'm just a servant. But I know that when a prophet comes and a prophet speaks, prophet don't come and speak nothing good in the beginning, comes and speaks and tells you that it's bad. Yeah? From Hosea to Malachi, you look at the beginning of every opening scripture, ain't nothing good there. Listen, your city's tore up, your city's in trouble. I don't care, you can look at me like that because I'm getting out of here soon. And I know where all the exit points are. It's bad. You're the worst. Your city's the worst for drug-related deaths in Britain. And our country is the worst. It's the worst. It's the worst. Our country, our little tiny island is the worst in Europe. Holy Spirit wants to come on you. Wants to come on you. Speak to that drug addict in your family, that cousin of yours, that aunt of yours, that son of yours, that daughter of yours, that husband of yours. That woman in your family that's binging on alcohol, part of that statistic, Holy Spirit wants to come on you tonight. Wants to come on you. Doesn't matter how much Bible you know, he just wants to come on you. So you open your mouth and you just tell him, listen, turn your heart to Jesus. Listen, man. You know how God began to speak to me? February the 14th, Valentine's Day 2000, in my kitchen. A friend of mine was in the rehab in Dublin, Ireland. Came to see me. It come Christmas 1999. I'd overdosed 2 weeks before that. Dead for 10 minutes. Only now I realised the hand of God brought me back. Come to see his family. Saw him, looked fantastic. He was in the home. I said, you look great. I said, what's happened to you? He said, Davis Jesus. Davis Jesus has changed my life. He said, I want to take you to Dublin. I'll fly you out there. I said, you and Jesus, well done, sweet, lovely, proud of you, but I'm all right. Do you know why? Because I come off the crack for 2 weeks after I OD'd. And any of you been on the gear and you've been off it for that length of time, you think you're clean. Men in the home. Women in the home, because I know we got a women's home here. Got back on it, and I knew I was going to die. went on an 8-day binge in Whitechapel, non-stop. I knew I was going to die. I was in a house with a girl whose father was a hitman for the craze, and her father threw his mother out of the window and killed her. We was in that flat for 8 days smoking, and I could smell death in the air. I knew I was going to die if I didn't get out. I got out by the grace of God, had a breakdown, and then my friend came back Valentine's Day, February 2000, and he spoke to me hard. Look at you, you drug addict. Look what you're doing to your family. You need to fix up. And he told me there's a place called Victory Outreach. I didn't want to go to Dublin. I was stubborn. I was ignorant. Didn't know anything. But he said there's a place in East London. And that's where I went. That's where I met Pastor Paul. That's where I met my sister, Sister Deborah, Sister Vicky. We can see ya. It's all right. See ya. She was running the home. Me and Sister Vicky graduated the same day. I went in that home and I repented of my sin. I was broken. I was sick of it. I gave my allegiance to Jesus. And he gave me that Holy Spirit. And when he gave me that Holy Spirit, 2 days later, I was on that street. I was telling people about Jesus Christ. Did not understand this for months. Couldn't read it. Couldn't understand it, but the Holy Spirit come on me, came in me, filled me, and he opened up my mouth. And like any good addict, when you get the good stuff, you tell people about it, amen? Most of the time we keep it to ourselves, praise the Lord. But God really wants to pour out an anointing here. When I was going through this and thinking about these stats in Manchester, I just saw revival. I never saw it for London. I didn't see it for Brighton or some of the. I saw Manchester. I saw revival, 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 revival of drug addicts. I know we're believing for revival of souls. I'm talking about drug addicts. I'm just being a bit specific. It's what God's showing me. Revival of drug addicts. And so evangelism is going to be key. Second thing we need a labor force of leaders and workers who understand our vision and who also understand our mission and are prepared to go out to the mission field. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 says this. Matthew 9, verse 35. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep, having no shepherds. Then he said to the disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." We need a labor force of leaders and workers who understand this vision and who also understand our mission and who are prepared to go out. Jesus saw people scared. scattered and weary. He was healing their sickness and their diseases. And I've been around long enough. I've seen many men with all kinds of diseases that come through the addictions and women. And they need to be healed. They need to be touched by the power of God. But more importantly, the gospel needs to be preached. But we need workers. We need leaders that are going to go out. And more importantly, understand what we're called to here in Victory Outreach. As we're a part of the kingdom of God. And we work alongside others who do what God's called them to do. So we need to raise up more pastors, more leaders, more workers. As you heard, things are happening in Liverpool, things are happening in Blackpool and in these different places here in the Northwest. The third thing is we need to plant more churches and recovery homes where there is a need for Victory Outreach. Luke chapter 10, verse 30. One of my favorite portions of scripture, and it says this. Luke chapter 10, verse 30. Then Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves. Most thieves I know are on drugs, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a certain priest, a certain ministry, came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, another church, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him, bandaged his wounds, pouring oil and wine, and set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, take care of him, and whatever you spend, whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. We need more churches and recovery homes to take in those some churches can't handle. You see, this Samaritan, I believe it's a picture of our homes, that inn, that place where men and women are beaten up, they're stripped and they're robbed of their dignity and their self-respect by drugs and alcohol. And here they are, they're beaten up on the roadside, in the flats, in the estates, in our communities. And there he was, beaten up. And there comes the Samaritan from Victory Outreach. When all of the others said, I ain't touching him, and I ain't going to touch her. But here comes this Samaritan, picks him up, puts him on in the van. Come on, somebody. I don't think we do that. No, we back in the day, we used to pick them up and put them in the van and they wake up. Where am I? You're in the home. Come on, somebody. Put him on his donkey, put him in the van, brought him to the home. Poured some oil on him and some wine. Praise the Lord. Some of you, you're like, man. Pastor, it's in the word. Here it is. We don't give you nothing but the Holy Ghost. If you want to get drunk in here, you better get drunk on the Holy Ghost. Put him in that home. Spent money on him. There was finances there. That's why I said God's going to raise up professionals. And there are professionals here. But God's going to raise up professionals, and God's going to raise up, I'm not going to say millionaires and billionaires, I ain't going to get into all that, but God's going to raise up business people, that finances are going to come in, amen, you're going to finance this work, Hallelujah. Like that first church when they brought their money to the apostles' feet, that the gospel could be spread in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. Come on, I know somebody, God's been talking to you about businesses. Amen. That you can have finances to fund this end time move of God. And so we need to plant more, because there is a need for victory outreach. So we take in those that some churches can't handle, like the Levite that will just pass them by. I ain't throwing any stones at any church glass windows. But I know one thing, and not many churches would have took me in. Wouldn't have took me in, man, on that Thursday night. Wouldn't have took me in, man. Would have took one look at me and said, uh-uh. The fourth thing, we need to have an understanding, an application of the foundational values and principles of this ministry, which are called the five E's of victory outreach. The five E's: exalting, equipping, establishing, envisioning, and evangelism. And this fourth and final one is the E of evangelism, and it is extremely important to the accomplishment of our vision. They all are, but this one is important. Proverbs 29:18 says, without a vision, people cast off restraint. Where there's no vision, and we have a vision. From Pastor Sonny in 1967, came to the Lord. And then when God began to birth this ministry in his heart, this work in his heart for drug addicts, gang members, Pastor Sonny started hitting those streets, started evangelizing, started taking men into the home. And it's continued for some 47 years now. We haven't stopped evangelizing. That's why I love Pastor Paul. Because he trained me in evangelism. He's an evangelist. I'm sure he'd love to be an evangelist, but he's pastoring. I'm sure he loves pastoring now, because he's got a beautiful church. Beautiful people. With no problems. People that want to be pastors and home directors and workers and leaders. And somebody say amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Make them feel good. Amen. Pastors, we like to feel good sometimes. Make us feel good. But I remember Pastor Paul, man, on those streets. And, you know, I wasn't idolizing men, but I wanted to be like him. I want to learn from him. And I learned. And he still goes out. He still witnesses. He's raising up evangelists. Man, raising up. We've got a great couple in Ken and Katie. And Katie looks like butter won't melt in her mouth. But you put her down Shepherd's Bush, man, she don't play. And so it's very important that we understand evangelism. It's important to accomplishing our vision. Evangelism simply is preaching the gospel. Matthew 24:14 says, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. And I believe we're going to see radical evangelism taking place like never before in these last days. This gospel, this message of the gospel, will see many people saved. Then they did not repent, not all, but some. Not all, but some. Some repented. Why? Because there was a ministry that went out, a ministry that preached the gospel, uncompromised gospel. And we're going to see many people. We're going to see homes filled of women, homes filled of men. Revival for drug addicts. Revival in the UK. A revival like we saw in the 60s and the 70s with men like Pastor Sonny, Nicky Cruz and Steve Hill. An end time revival of addicts and their families. Tonight I want us to stand and I want us to just for a moment just to I've just really shared my heart. Sorry if it's not come across in any sophistication or anything like that. I'm not like that. I really just wanted to share my heart. It may not have come out because it's just really stirring in my heart. But I want you to bow your heads. I want you to close your eyes. If the worship team would just come and just play and just play. I want you to just bow your heads and close your eyes. I just want to really just speak for a moment to those that I know that God has separated but tonight I want you to just be real before the Holy Spirit and if the Word of God is you've sensed that extra tug that like yes I'm calling you you're not losing it, you're not going crazy, I'm calling you to be a missionary, calling you to be a pastor. Yeah, might sound, the devil might be saying that, oh, that's not you. You're still in the home. That's where God spoke to me after 3 months. Come on, he's calling you to be a pastor's wife. He's calling you to lead evangelism. Come on, if that's you, calling you to business. You're sensing the tug, you're sensing the pull of the Holy Spirit. You see the burden, you see the need, you see it happening around you, you see it happening in college, you see it happening in uni, your kids are telling you it's happening in school, in their school, you see it happening in your family, maybe you're going home to it tonight, someone in your home, you're going home to it tonight. I just really, the altar call is just to respond to the sense of God, a God who has separated you. And he has been speaking to you and doing something in you, wooing you gently. Some may be more aggressively. I want you to just respond to the Holy Spirit. He has raised up our ministry as an end time ministry for an end time move of God, end time revival of God. I think now I'm crazy enough to believe, because I was crazy when I was on drugs, and I feel like I'm crazy enough to believe that God is so sovereign that even a step of faith in just responding to God could mean somebody going back to their home, to their city, and hearing that the one whom you love or the one who you've been praying for has been set free and been delivered. I'm crazy enough to believe that God does not need even us to, I believe God just wants us to believe that he's able to do the reviving, that he can just wave his hand. His hand's not too short to just reach. Oh, I feel the anointing. I feel the power. Oh, come on. Just respond tonight in faith. Just faith. That's all it is. Faith. Faith. Faith to believe for revival in Manchester. Faith to believe for your son. Your dad, your neighbor, your friend at work, holding down a job, but taking drugs or alcohol. You know it, you see it, you can tell. And you ain't said nothing, but God wants to just touch you tonight to be the one. Oh. Holy Spirit just wants to come on you. Somebody here tonight, you've never been a drug addict, never been an alcoholic, and you're here tonight, and I know he's talking to you. I want to open the altar right now. You just come out. Just come out and respond to God. Respond to the Holy Spirit and the call of God, the separating of God.